good. How are you, Monica?
Great. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I would love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Absolutely. So I am a Minnesota mom. I've lived in Minnesota my entire life, born and raised here. I'm used to the snow. I love it. A lot of times people are like, how do you handle the snow and the cold? I like it. I love fleeces. I love blankets. So we are going to be here forever. But I am a mom to three amazing kids. I have a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 5 and a 5-month-old. So it's so much fun with my three kids. But I am a social media strategist who started this whole entrepreneurship bit about 3.5 years ago. From that time, a lot has changed. So I've been very fortunate to work with amazing clients. And I ultimately was able to leave my 9-to-5 within 6 months of starting this, replacing my income and realizing, oh my gosh, I think I can do this. Like, this is awesome. A couple months later, I got lonely when my husband was going to work every single day. I was like, I missed him. I want him home too. So I hustled, brought him home from his 9-to-5. And since then, everything has just continued to grow. People started asking me, like, how did you do this? And so from that, an opportunity arose for me to teach people how to be successful social media managers, being the keyword successful. And so between the two businesses, we teach people to be successful social media managers. We currently have 1,200 students from 70 different countries. We've served almost 5,000 people over the last 2 years. And then we also have a full service agency where we do done for you marketing. We've worked with clients where we've taken them from $4,000 month to $7,000 days. And we even helped one client to hit her first $280,000 month from a business that she started in her garage. We also worked with a client. And this is, I love my clients. I love what we do. Social media is so fun and so rewarding. Another one of our clients was doing, you know, a couple hundred thousand before she met us. And since November, we have helped her to make over $2 million. So I love what I do. I practice what I preach. I work with my husband every day as my COO. And I have a whole team on both sides of the business, digitally and in person.
That is so much fun. So I think of you kind of like a social media superhero, and every superhero has an origin story. I have heard yours has something to do with a diamond ring. Can you tell us that story?
Absolutely. So several years ago, when I was first starting to secure clients as a social media manager, I wasn't great. I know a lot of people might relate to this. Like when you first start, you're like, I want to be amazing. I want to be great. And I would produce content and it was okay. You know, I'd get some likes, I'd get some followers, but there was always that part of me that was like, I want to be amazing. I want to make stuff go viral. I want to be the person where people say she changed my business and my life. And so one day I was sitting down and I decided to write out a story about my ring, which is a true story. So my husband and I used to be a single mom, and my daughter Dakota and I rented one bedroom from a house with a whole bunch of roommates. We were really struggling financially. It was a really hard time. And I wasn't just going to get married to like save me from that issue, you know, that stress. But the day I met my husband, I knew this is it. He is the one. And so within 1 week, we professed our love for each other. Thankfully, he said it first. And then I was like, yes, oh my gosh, me too. And just 6 days after that, we eloped. So we got married after 13 days of knowing each other. And we just knew it was right and it was forever. And the crazy cool part about our story is, you know, I was a hairstylist that I was doing okay. I wasn't doing great, but I was a hairstylist. My husband was a window washer. And when we got married, we didn't even plan out where we were going to live. He was renting one room from a house full of dudes. And so I was like, well, you guys have an extra room. Can my daughter and I move in too, I guess? We don't know what to do. So we just went for it. And ultimately, that's the house that we still live in today. Slowly, the roommates all moved out. And actually, it was kind of fast. Second, a kid came in. People moved out pretty quickly. And then we got the place to ourselves. And we've been here for a few years. And it's our home. So I decided to write this post. And my goal was to go viral, in fact. That was what I believed could happen. But it was all about my small wedding ring and how other people were always like, you need to upgrade it. Like, when are you going to upgrade it? Like, that's so small. It's not you. And I just was like, but you don't understand. Our story is bigger than a big wedding ring. I've seen a lot of people with big wedding rings that aren't happy in marriage. And so I wrote just this emotional story that packed in the whirlwind romance, the love, the foundation, what that ring represented. And, you know, to this day, I have never upgraded, but people think that this is an upgrade, but this is actually, this is a Swarovski crystal ring that's actually even cheaper than the ring that I first got. And I just, this one was a little more my style, but I still have that ring. I've never upgraded because like what we have is so special. And a lot of times people will look at our business success and say, wow, you guys are really lucky. Or they'll say to my husband, wow, you married right. But that's not what it was. Like our love was just seeing each other for who we are. So it went viral, this post. I mean, the first couple months, it was like taking off, getting a little more traction. I remember the day I woke up and it had reached 60,000 people. At this time, I had no real following. I think I had like 600 followers on Facebook, a couple hundred on each platform. So this was the first time I was reaching a sphere bigger than my own. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I put $60 of ad spend behind it. And all of a sudden took off. I woke up one morning and my phone had been blowing up all night, but I didn't see it because it was on silent. I look and there's hundreds of notifications, maybe even thousands. It had reached 1 million people. And by the end of that week, it reached 11.3 million people with 60 plus thousand shares, hundreds of thousands of reactions, probably 50,000 comments on this post. And all of a sudden, the Today Show was calling me. Inside Edition was calling me. Sealy Mattresses was calling me because they wanted to gift us with a mattress. Suddenly, all the media picked it up. So the post reached 11.3 million before the media shared the story. That was the craziest, best feeling in the whole world. But it was, that was so fun because I realized that virality can be crafted. And since then, we've done it several times for our client well.
That's amazing. So would you call that kind of a big break in your business? And if so, how can we as prepare ourselves for like a big break and then take that to the next level the way that you did?
You know, I'll be totally honest. I don't think that was the big break for my business because it was a very personal story. So it's tough to see like the correlation. In my mind, it was like, oh, I'm going viral. I'm going to get tons of clients from this. But the reality is that wasn't the big break for like my revenue or my business. There were no clients calling because of that post. And so what it really was a big break for my platform. Suddenly people were finding me and respecting me and following me, and it opened more doors. But if I didn't know how to capitalize on it, I love that question, Monica. If I didn't know how to capitalize on it and leverage that opportunity, it wouldn't have done anything for my business. So one of the biggest things that I recommend for people is always be prepared. Like make sure that your website, your game plan, your marketing, your targeting, your follow-up are ready just in case overnight you explode, because those things can happen just like this. And so for me, the way that we stacked that win was we went viral on purpose. Here's what happened. And so it was in a way, like I said, a break for my platform. It wasn't a big break for my career, but for me, the biggest break was I realized I could become a great social media manager. Like I knew what it took to make something go viral. So for me, the break was mental.
That's amazing. So I've studied your 30-day interview where you talk about what you would do if suddenly you lost everything and you had to rebuild your entire business from scratch. And I love how openly you shared your business strategy. You talk about LinkedIn and Facebook as your go-tos for building your client base. And I was kind of surprised, but I wonder if you'd share with us your reasoning behind those two platforms being your go-to.
Yeah, absolutely. So I personally feel that for most businesses that are business to business, LinkedIn is this untapped wealth of connections and networking and possibility and pitches done well. So LinkedIn has always been, up until the last probably 6 months, my number one driver of leads and revenue for my business. LinkedIn is basically a big networking party. And a lot of people poo-poo it. They think that all the opportunity is on Facebook. But for business to business, Facebook is becoming a little bit of a red ocean. We're all fighting for the same client. When you're working with clients who run businesses, LinkedIn is still untapped and there's tons of people you can reach. So I love LinkedIn for business to business. Facebook is phenomenal for business to consumer. Consumers love to consume on Facebook. They love having Facebook groups for their weight loss challenges. They love having Facebook groups for their skincare. All of these things work on Facebook so well because business to consumer.
I love that. There's so many things I admire about you, but something that really stands out to me is your confidence. Can you tell me like, where does that come from? Tell our listeners, how do you have confidence all the time?
Ooh, I like this question because it's one of the things I want everyone to realize is that confidence doesn't always start the confidence cycle. So by nature, I love speaking. I love talking to people. I like presenting. But when it comes to like who I am and my voice and how I show up online, the confidence didn't come naturally. So when I first started, I was like, I don't know, do I talk like Amy Porterfield because what she's doing is working? Do I talk like Russell Brunson because he knows how to sell? I don't know how to show up as myself. And more importantly, are people going to like it? So that was a real fear that I had. And for a long time, I was just copying what I saw other people doing. And I'll never forget the day where I just woke up and I was like, this is exhausting. Like, I want to be myself. And who I am is goofy, very, very, very goofy. It's approachable. It's comfortable. It's natural. It's like you're sitting down with a friend, you know, and that's how I wanted people to feel every single time that they came into contact with me on any social media platform. So I made that shift and then I had to remember to keep doing it. Confidence is something that we all have our areas of insecurity. You know, we have our areas of insecurity sometimes with the way that we look or the way we speak or the way we show up. And I learned that you have to just go for it. You have to do it when you're scared, when you're not confident. And over time, you'll get over those insecurities. I mean, a lot of people watching this might say, like, I don't like how my voice sounds, Rachel. I didn't either. But when you hear yourself and you're editing trainings for hours and hours and hours every week, you're hearing your podcast, you're hearing your interviews, you suddenly don't hear it anymore. It's like the wallpaper on a wall behind you. You don't hear it. Suddenly it's more about, okay, what was my content there? Did I like that? And so my best advice is just go for it.
I love that advice. That's the advice I got. And that's why we're sitting here for that advice, because yeah, it's never going to be perfect. Like, oh, it never will be.
So true.
So of all of your accomplishments, what are you most proud of and why?
Ooh, we could talk business, but one of my greatest accomplishments is my family. And that sounds so cheesy. Like everyone's like, oh, it's about family. But honestly, I am obsessed with my family and we have something so special that we've worked really, really hard for. You know, we have magical family dinner and we have a beautiful bedtime routine every single day that lasts sometimes an hour, hour and a half, and with singing and dancing and playing and tickling. I love this, just that cozy feeling of family that we've built and we've worked really, really hard to protect. I would say without a doubt, my three kids and my husband and the relationship the five of us now have.
I love that. Of course, I love that. As a woman who in business who's trying to balance family and all of that, I would love to hear what an average day looks like for you. I mean, what time do you wake up? What do you have morning routine? What are your secrets to managing all of it?
Ooh, so it's always a work in progress. You would have asked me even like a year or two ago, my routine and my weekly work week were out of control. I didn't have any. It was just work, 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 and then try to get an hour with the kids and then go back to work and be stressed. And I didn't love that, but we've been working on it over the last year. So by nature, I am a night owl. Not everyone in the entrepreneur space is a natural morning bird. You know, I don't wake up singing. So I like to wake up between 9 and 10 each day. So it's a little bit later than all of these 3 a.m., 5 a.m. risers. I would love to be able to wake up at 5. That's a goal that I have, a dream that I have, but I'm like, maybe first I could shoot 8 and then see if I can get it back a little bit. So 9 to 10, I wake up. And the first thing I do is I hyperhydrate. Alex Sharfin is a mentor to me and he believes in hyperhydration. So I drink 30 ounces of water first thing in the morning. And I spend some time connecting with my husband. He's already gotten the kids off for the day. He's a rock star and he's a morning bird and I'm jealous. So he gets the kids off for the day. And then we connect, we talk about life, business, how the kids were, what we have coming up for the kids. And then from there, we dive on into work and our work day is blocked out. So we have like certain days for podcasts. I have my sales calls, my client calls, and then certain time blocked out for learning. It's kind of crazy, but I like to try to spend an hour learning every single day, whether it's reading blogs, listening to podcasts. Sometimes I'll listen to podcasts while I'm working and that's like extra days of learning. But the things that lately I've been doing every day is like meditation with Muse and just spending some time really making sure that everything is mindful, including what we eat. So we recently cut out all sugar, including fruit, processed grains, processed foods, any grains actually, not just processed, and most dairy except for full fat organic dairy. So we've been getting more intentional and our days are becoming better and more productive.
So when I see you online, I see you like as someone who dresses for success every day, but you get to show up in your sweats. I love that. I'm seeing this.
Yeah, right. For sure. But like, I feel like everyone should know because people see me dressed up for success when I'm dressed up for success. Yeah. Like today, I am wearing a fleece, a t-shirt, and a blanket. Like it is as comfortable as it gets. Most days, I'm actually a t-shirt and yoga pants or a t-shirt and jeans girl. I love being comfortable. And so when I have important, like if Russell were to be like, I need an interview with you this Friday, I'd be like, oh, it's a day where I have to look nice. Okay, I'm going to look nice. Let's plan all my other interviews that are going to be like big ones, everyone everyone is going to see on that day, and let's record on that day so that we just maximize that opportunity. I am not a dress for success kind of person every day. What about you, Monica? What do you wear?
Oh, I love to show up to work in my sweats, but most of what I do is all audio. I'm still learning the new video, getting into the video space. So that's that's my goal, to get into that. But yes, I will definitely model myself after you, because I love to get dressed up and look nice, but not every day.
Same. And for hair, I'm like, it needs to be wash and wear and go every day. So.
So as a woman with your level of success in life and business, do you ever deal with imposter syndrome? I mean, do you ever just wake up and be like, I've tricked everybody? Like, how do you deal with that? How do you talk yourself through that?
So imposter syndrome is something that I think comes up for everybody. This is actually really funny. And if you're listening to this, even you, Monica, like, you have to look this up. It was a joke masterclass by Sir Ian McKellen. And he was being interviewed by, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but he said, the key to acting, and this is a joke, but it's true, is pretending. I pretend every day. So when I was in The Lord of the Rings, it was like this. I would pretend to be a wizard. So I'd go, Sir Ian McKellen, Sir Ian McKellen, Sir Ian McKellen. They'd say action, and I'd go, you shall not pass. And then they'd say cut, and I'd go, Sir Ian McKellen, Sir Ian McKellen, Sir Ian McKellen. And I thought, like, that is so applicable for us as entrepreneurs, because let's be real, like, life is not glam every day. Sometimes it's like, change a diaper, get a blowout, put up all over your outfit, now you have to change, and then all of a sudden it's like, and action. Okay, CEO, strong, confident, let's do this. Like, we're going to do awesome things. And then you go back and it's like, oh, I'm me. I'm still me. You know, like, so there's an element of pretending in a way that you show up as the person you know that you're supposed to be as a leader and as a CEO and all of those things. We still have fun and I'm still a big goofball with my team, but who I show up as a CEO, sometimes it's like, I don't know if this is, I've never done this before. This is my first time. So I pretend, Rachel, CEO, let's go. And then Rachel. But with imposter syndrome, for me, it comes up a lot with my kids. You know, when we go to soccer games and when we go to like parent-teacher conferences, I'm definitely a younger parent, a lot younger parent. You know, I have 3 kids and I'm not 30 yet. And so sometimes I feel that imposter syndrome at soccer game. When I see the moms who've like got everything under control and, you know, they're like, oh yeah, we've got this routine down. And I'm just like, I really wish that I had that. And I feel like an imposter sometimes next to other parents, as crazy as that sounds.
That is crazy, because I mean, you appear so much that you have it all together. So it's like so comforting to know that even, this is my next question, the queen of social media sometimes has an off day. For all of us who are, you know, just kind of trying to figure it all out. But I've heard you referred to as the queen of social media. I'd love to know how you got that title.
Oh my gosh. So someone said it on an interview and I was like, I like that. But then I was like, I can't say I'm the queen of social media. When they said it, I didn't have all these massive followings yet. So I was like, I can't say that. Like, that's not who I am yet. But then I was like, wait, if I embrace that and I'm not embarrassed and I'm not apologetic and I just go for it, it'll happen. And sure enough, like, the following started to happen. And I like it just because I'm a huge fan of like Daenerys from Game of Thrones. And I love how she speaks, who she is before it is. Like, anyone who's familiar, do you watch Game of Thrones?
I don't personally, but I've heard lots of people talk about it.
Yeah. And I love the show because of Daenerys, because of the strength that she shows up with every day. And she'll say, I'm Daenerys, you know, Stormborn, queen of the blah, blah, blah. And she's like sitting in ashes. There's nothing around her. She has no power, no army, anything. But she speaks about it with such confidence that you're like, yeah, that woman's going to become exactly what she just said. So that's kind of where it came about. And then I embraced it.
And that's part of where that confidence comes from too. When you answer that question, I love that. So what's this challenge you've ever had to face in life or business?
Ooh, biggest challenge in business. You know, there's been a couple different ones. I think two of the biggest ones that come to mind were one time when I was targeted by trolls massively, and trolls and haters. It was just the meanest people, the underbelly of the internet. And I got thousands of hateful comments in one day about the way that I look, who I was trying to be, what I was not, how, you know, it was everything from like, they were insulting every part of my appearance. It was just a lot in one day. And now at this point, I can handle haters and trolls. It doesn't bother me because I just know what it all stems from. And that day it was too much. Like I just sat down and probably spent 8 hours crying. And I cried and I cried and I cried and I deleted the post and I tried to block as many people as I could from it. But I went to my community and I let them see like how that was affecting me, because it was just, that was one of the lows when I realized that with great success can come massive backlash. That was a really hard day in business and I took it really personally. And the second one that comes up was balancing a business with my third pregnancy. And pregnancy is not my thing. I don't like pregnancy very much. So what was that, you too?
Yeah.
I'm so jealous of the people who are like, I love pregnancy. This is amazing. I'm like, I'm so happy for you. I never had that experience. So, you know, it was really tough because I had to show up and I'm exhausted and I was sick through my whole pregnancy, I think until like 32 weeks. And I mean, really sick. Like I would hop on a conference call and I'd mute and go be sick in the sink and then come back to the call. And, you know, that time was really tough because I wasn't able to grow and push forward the way I wanted. And I was, you know, dealing with all the emotions of pregnancy. That was really hard. Something beautiful came out of that time because my husband was like, I need to step into my role as the second leader in this company. I'm a leader too. And he stepped in because I wasn't managing my team. I didn't know like how to show up for everybody. And he started getting our team unified again. And he stepped up in both businesses. And I was like, this is the most attractive thing I've ever seen in my life. He bridged the gap. Well, I couldn't be a leader. And he became someone that I can rely on every single day. So it was the toughest, but there was a massive upside, you know?
Yeah. The two challenges that you mentioned just now seems to me like something that would hold so many people back from jumping in. I mean, the two things you just mentioned, I would say are probably the two biggest fears I think that especially women have as jumping into entrepreneurs. So how is it that those things didn't derail you? Like, how did you keep fighting and get through those things and not let them crash down your whole business?
At the time, it was just grit. It was, I couldn't give up because the alternative wasn't okay. I didn't have like great coping skills with how to get through those things, if that makes sense. It was just, I just have to keep going. There's no other option. And so grit or crazy foolishness is my best answer for that. But I've developed a new practice that has been so immensely helpful for me in business and in personal life. And it's this practice of talking about what the worst case scenario is. Let's actually break down the worst case scenario. So the 30 days summit with Russell, the 30 days book, was actually coming with really great timing because we had just gone through this practice where we talk about the worst case scenario and let's envision it happening and let's plan for our contingency plan when it happens. So we walk through it and you actually not experience it, but it's almost like war games. Suddenly you're like, if we were to lose, what would we do? How would we regroup? And that practice of always looking at the worst case scenario in every situation, hoping for the best, but always planning for the worst, has been a game changer. Suddenly I feel fearless because if the worst case scenario happens, I've already walked through this. I already know what happens. My team already knows what happens. And suddenly it doesn't scare me the way it used to.
So what would you say to those listeners who have those fears and that's what's keeping them from getting started? Like, what would you say to them?
Oh my gosh, do this exercise. So I'll share with you guys like my most dramatic one, which was during my pregnancy when I was super scared that everything was going to fall apart and we were going to be bankrupt and our kids weren't going to eat. And that was what was spiraling in my head before we actually talked it out. I'm sure that's like the fears everyone has. What happens if we lose our house? What happens if we don't have food? What happens if we all end up living on the banks of a river? That's so scary, but in our head, it's not rational yet. So when you take your team or some people that you trust through the worst case scenario, it actually isn't as bad as you think. So start to brainstorm it. So we literally did this. My husband and I said, okay, what would we do? Well, first things first, I shared some of this in the 30 days plan. I would barter with a co-op. So we would still get organic, fresh fruits and veggies. I have skills. I know how to get them out there. We would barter with local boutique. I would absolutely barter with them for clothes for the kids and for myself. We would sell everything we have and buy a van. And we would live in that van and we'd take out the back seat when we needed to. We'd live in this van. Why not? Right? And I was like, okay, I know how to fish. I do know how to hunt. I don't want to, but I know how to hunt. We'd have everything we needed. And could we rebuild? Yeah. But what if we said, that's not that scary? We would drive around with our kids. We would fish. We would go to farmers markets. We would barter for different things. Okay. We wouldn't starve. We wouldn't live on the street. That's not so bad. I can handle that.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen. So now let's keep going. So that's, I recommend doing this exercise because I guarantee you the thoughts you're having in your head aren't rational compared to what you would actually do in that worst case scenario.
I love that. So who or what inspires you the most and why?
Oh, so many people. You know, my mentors all inspire me immensely on a daily basis. I listen to their trainings. I talk to them. I learn learn from them. So my mentors are Russell Brunson, Alex Scherfin, and Myron Golden. I love them. On a personal level, the person who inspires me the most every single day is Stacey Martino. She was a part of the she's a part of the 30 Day Summit. She's speaking at Funnel Hacking Live. Stacey Martino is one of the most wonderful human beings. And she basically taught me how to do that worst case scenario with my personal life and how to live just a beautiful marriage and relationships and love myself. And so that personal side, I'm still always working on it, but she inspires me by the way she shows up every single day.
I love that. If there's one thing you could ensure your kids knew that their mom stand for, what would that one thing be?
Love people. That would absolutely be it. Love people. You know, that's, if you love people, things are going to be great in life. There's so much else that I'd be like, okay, you got to master sales and go after your dreams and all those things. But if you love people, you're going to love life. And so that would hands down be it.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. So of all the projects you're working on now, what are you the most excited about?
Okay, I've got three. Do you want to get like, oh my gosh, you want to get like the inside scoop on a couple?
Yes, give us the scoop.
So the first one that everyone knows is I've got my live event coming up this week and I'm super excited because we've got like surprises and swag drops and we're announcing a mastermind in Greece in Santorini next year. So I'm really, really excited about that. But that's not the inside scoop. My book. I am so excited about my book. Yeah, we've been working on it behind the scenes over here. It is called I'm the Boss. And it's all
great. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. It's so powerful. There's a part of it that's about social media management, but it's mostly about like saying, cut, this is not how the story ends. I'm the boss of my life and turning every single situation around to being an amazing life. And the foreword is by Russell Brunson. So I'm really excited for this book to get out there, ton of work. And then, and then there's one more surprise. I kind of actually already said it a little bit. I'm bringing together some amazing people, Santorini in Greece. And this is going to be one of the coolest trips and masterminds ever because we're going to be diving into some of like the history behind ancient Greece and what it was that people went through that relates to us as entrepreneurs today. I haven't shared that with anyone that we're going to be like diving into the historical side of Greece.
So and is so, this just a hobby of yours? Like where did this come from?
Like the Greece and history and stuff?
Yeah.
I'm a super big nerd. So I love learning about history. I love learning about cultures. I've done some traveling in the last couple of years. Like I went to India and spent 9 days there, not in the nice part of India, in the mountains, like where there's poverty. And I love other cultures. I love going through the marketplace. I love learning about the people and speaking to the people and connecting with people. Yeah, I'm just like a huge nerd. So I like learning about everything. I even like learning about like science and sometimes I'll dive into like quantum theories and all that. But yeah, it's kind of a ridiculous hobby.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us today. Seriously, this has been so much fun to get to know you better. I'm wondering if you can tell my listeners where to find you and get more of just you.
Absolutely. The best place to find me and everything that's going on with me is my brand new website that just launched yesterday. And I love it. Quirky and full of personality is www.rachelpeterson.com. And my last name is spelled with all E's and a D. So that's the one thing. If you type it in right, you'll find it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rachel. Have such a wonderful day.
Thank you, Monica. I'll see you later.
I feel like in that interview, Rachel and I had been friends for ever. It was such a fun interview and so fun to get her take on social media management and her skills and talents and how she shares those with the world. I just want to sincerely thank you all for listening each week from the bottom of my heart. It means so much to me to be able to serve you in this way. And if you're getting anything out of this podcast, I would just request that you leave me a review in iTunes if you can, or a review on Facebook or Google or anywhere where you take reviews. Just leave me a review that helps other people find the podcast. And also remember that you can share your favorite episodes with a friend simply by tapping on the three dots in the top corner. And you can text a link to the episode to anyone who might enjoy it. So I'm excited about next week's interview, which will be a short interview with my friend Chrissy Brewer, who is an amazing woman. So I'm so excited to introduce you to her and have you get to know her better. I also want to remind you of my workshop coming up on April 26th. You can get your ticket by tapping on the link in my Instagram profile. You can find it on Facebook or on Eventbrite. website. It's a 4-hour workshop that's called You Rock. And by the end of the workshop, you are going to truly believe that with every fiber of your being. Lunch will be provided, and I'll also have childcare if needed because it is on a Friday. So if you need to bring your kids, go ahead and bring them. They'll be here in the house with you, but I'll have somebody watching them. And I am offering this workshop cheaper than it will ever be offered. I just want to try it out, get some feedback from you guys, see how it goes, and then we'll be offering it again, but it will be significantly more expensive. So if you have the time, April 26th, join us for the You Rock workshop. And until next week, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.